Concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, we read, "Lo, I come," in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Now that comes from Hebrews chapter 10, and that's taken from Psalm 40, verses 7 and 8 there. But the volume of the book is specifically referring to the head of the scroll. And the head of the scroll are the knobs, literally the knobs on a scroll. And what it, the meaning, what it's signifying in the volume of the book, what it's signifying is that from the very, very beginning of the book, where that paper attaches to that wooden dowel that goes between the heads, the volume there, it's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the significance, what our God is telling us, is that every book from beginning of the book to the end is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the least of which books is the book of Genesis that we've been studying in. And our Lord is telling us that he has appointed his Son, Jesus Christ, to be the God-man mediator, the Savior of his people. It's all about him. You that would know the true and living God, look to the Lord Jesus Christ in all things. He is all the salvation of his people. He has been appointed of God to fulfill, to ratify, to establish the covenant of God's grace with his people. And this glorious, gracious salvation is being declared to us in the creation account. All of creation is pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to pick up in Genesis chapter 2, looking at the first three verses. We've been looking at creation, and so far we've seen the first 6 days of creation. And as we go through them, we're beholding the Word of God, who created all things, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've seen in each and every day a type of what our Savior has done in accomplishing the salvation of his people. It's declared in each day. Let's just look at these days real quickly. Day one, we read of the uncreated light. God brings forth light. He brings forth light to shine upon the dark planet. It's the uncreated light. And that light declares God's design, God's purpose of grace for a people that he would put on this planet. And we know that light speaks to the Son of God, who is the light and life of men. It pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, who the Word of God, who came in the flesh and is the light and life of men. Day two, then, it speaks of the firmament which God made to cover the earth. That firmament is the expanse that God made in which all living things dwell. Without that covering, there could be no life on earth. And that covering is a picture of the sin-atoning covering of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom his people have life, in whom his people live and enjoy all the spiritual blessings of God. Day three, having made that sin atonement, having made that covering, day three declares the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, which we see pictured in the land appearing up out of the watery grave. Day four declares the ascension. Having risen from the dead, having justified his people, the Lord Jesus Christ ascends and is glorified, exalted by God in the heaven. And the sun, the moon, and the stars are left as a witness. First, in creation, the sun, the moon, and the stars are a witness of that uncreated light that we don't see or understand. It's a witness of that light. And these picture the witness spoken of by the Apostle John when he speaks of the witness in the earth, the spirit, the water, and the blood, which are a type of or a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. The water is the Word of God by which we are washed, and the blood speaks to the blood-redeemed Church of God, who together bear witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then on day 5, with the witnesses declaring, pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, we see the result of that witness of life abundantly springing forth, life teeming in the waters and the fowl of the air. And then day 6, we saw a picture of God's blessing of grace, which is manifested in the Lord's people in the new birth, the new creation. And we are created, we are created in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to read first in Genesis 1, verse 31, the last verse there, and then we'll go into verse 2, or chapter 2. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. In other words, everything is declaring to us so far what Christ has accomplished in the salvation of his people. Thus, verse 1 now, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So we're told on day 7 now that God, having finished the work completely, his response to completing the work of creation was to rest. And when he rested, it signifies to us that there was nothing left to do. Nothing could be added to perfect it, to make it any more perfect. If anything was added to perfection, it would cease to be perfect. God was satisfied, so he rested himself from all further work. It was complete, finished, nothing more to do. Has anyone ever made you a meal, a plate of food? Typically, when they do, they ask you, how do you like it? And sometimes our response is, it's perfect. It's perfect. Well, if you then proceeded to pick up a salt shaker and sprinkle salt on that food, then you really can't say that you think it's perfect, because you've added something to it. You may love the dish. You may be very happy about it. You may be thankful for the food, and you're just adding a little salt to improve its flavor to suit you more. You may love it, but you can't call it perfect because you've added something to it. If it's perfect, you rest. You cease from any further labor. All that's left to do is to eat it and to enjoy it. That's all that's left to do. Remember that illustration when it comes to the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scriptures declare to us that what he did is perfect. Nothing more can be added to it. The people of God rest in the finished, completed work of salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ for his people. This is what's being declared to us in the seventh day rest. Rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've titled this message, The Seventh Day Rest. So if God rested on the seventh day, which men call the Sabbath day, what's the significance to us? What's the importance of God resting on the seventh day? What's the importance for us as believers? Well, we've seen now that creation is not just talking about things that God did to create the earth, but each and every day has a purpose. Each and every day is declaring to us the Lord Jesus Christ. It's declaring what Christ has accomplished for his people in their salvation. So what's the significance then? If each and every day so far has been declaring Christ in the salvation of his people, what does this seventh day rest say to us? What's its significance for us as believers? Talking about Christ crucified, men say that when Christ was crucified, that is the pinnacle of our history. That is the pinnacle of our history. That's when everything came together, when Christ was crucified for his people. And I agree. I don't argue with that at all. That really is. What could be more greater than Christ obtaining the forgiveness of our sins and life for his people, delivering them from eternal death and giving them life, restoring that life, that fellowship, that friendship between us in Christ and holy God, than what Christ did there on the cross for his people? Well, if that is the pinnacle of our history, and all of creation is speaking of that day, is declaring to us what Christ did in that salvation, well, then we have an idea of what this seventh day is declaring to us as well. It's not teaching us about physical rest from our daily labors in work. That's what religion teaches us. Instead, the seventh day rest is declaring to us to rest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as he did everything in those first 6 days for the deliverance of his people, to give them life in himself, just as our God rested from his labors, we see being declared to us, you rest. Rest, trust, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing more for you to do. It's perfect. It's perfect by the Lord Jesus Christ. The work is finished. That resting from our fleshly works in order to make a righteousness for ourselves, which men teach under the law, or pointing to creation and saying, well, it's a creation ordinance to rest. If all we see is a physical resting of our bodies, we're missing what our God is declaring to us in this creation account, in these first 7 days, the declaration of the Lord Jesus Christ. To now go and do a physical religious ceremonial thing in resting from physical labor is the opposite of what the Lord is teaching us about resting in the salvation God has provided, the Lord Jesus Christ. God in Christ finished the work of salvation. It says in verse 2 that on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made. In verse 3 it says, in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. The whole time the physical world is being formed and laid out and put together by the Lord, he was looking toward that redemption work of Jesus Christ for his people, the redemption of his bride. There's a reason why all the Old Testament, throughout the Old Testament scriptures, it's constantly pointing back, it's constantly tying the Lord Jesus Christ to the creation. What he did in accomplishing our salvation, it ties back to the creation account. There's a reason why Revelation 13:8 calls our Lord the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It's picturing, it's declaring the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, from the very beginning. This was the gracious purpose of your God from the moment he shined that uncreated light on this planet, declaring God had a gracious purpose for the people that he would create and form and put on this planet. He had a gracious purpose for a chosen elect people whom he gave to Christ and would redeem them by his darling Son, without anything from them, but all entirely done by the Lord our God and Savior. You know, we'll be coming soon to the fall of man here in Genesis. And it's declaring to us that we all sinned in Adam. We're all sons and daughters of Adam's seed. When he rebelled against God, we rebelled against God. And in that rebellion, he died. He became defiled. He was corrupted, and everything about him was corrupted. He became dead in trespasses and sins, so that when we are conceived of our parents by our father's seed, we are inheriting that same corruption of Adam. We're inheriting that same corruption. We're all born of that corrupt seed, so that just as Adam died spiritually, we come forth spiritually dead. Adam is said to be a living soul. Christ Jesus is said to be the life-giving spirit. Adam can't give life to us physically, but we all die. We're all spiritually dead in Adam. But Christ is a life-giving spirit. He gives that spiritual life, which we don't have by nature. He's the one that gives, that who restores that fellowship with holy God. The gospel of our God is that he gave his Son. He spared him not, but delivered him up for all his people when he went to the cross to make an atonement for the sins of his people and to give spiritual life to his people who were born of Adam's corrupt seed. Full, free, sovereign salvation is what Christ accomplished. He accomplished, he finished the work to deliver his people from death. When he was on the cross, he cried, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Then and there, the work of salvation was finished. It was secured. It was accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as he did in the beginning when he fashioned the word by the world by the word of his power, the work being ended, he finished. We're being told when Christ was on that cross crying, "It is finished," that the work of salvation is done. It's entirely done. Turn to Hebrews 1. Let's go to Hebrews 1 and look at the first three verses. And don't turn from Hebrews too quickly. Hebrews 1, verse 1. "God, who at sundry times, various times, and in diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." Now, what is the significance of that glorious word, that Christ sat down? What is the significance in relation to the salvation he obtained for his people? We'll let the scriptures tell it to us. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, and let's go to verse 9, 9 through 12. "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second." In other words, that first covenant of works, that he may establish the covenant of grace. by the which will, the gracious will and purpose of our God to redeem a chosen people given to Christ before the foundation of the world, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Why did Christ sit down if all the other priests are standing daily offering the same sacrifices over and over again? Christ sat down because the work was finished. He finished the work of salvation. What can you do to a finished work? Nothing but rest in it. Rest in it. The gospel is good news. That salvation isn't out there as a possibility. The gospel is good news because it's declaring to sinners that the work has been finished. It's accomplished. Everything necessary has been done in and by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. God is looking to the sinner for nothing. He looks to his Son for everything for the sinner. And the sinner looks to Christ, believing, trusting, everything has been given that needed to be given by Jesus Christ himself for his people. God is satisfied with his Son. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And God makes his people to be satisfied with the Son, just as he is satisfied with the Son. We have been commanded by God to proclaim this glorious good news to all, and those who hear it and believe it do confess him as their all. And by believing it, they're testifying to the gracious work that God has wrought in them. Their faith is not a product of their flesh, but a testimony to the power and glory of God to give that dead sinner life in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Those works do follow because Christ has accomplished salvation, and nothing shall prevent his glorious salvation from being wrought in his people whom he died for, whom he gave his life for. He gives life to all whom he loves and gave himself for. They shall hear, they shall believe, they shall live in the Lord Jesus Christ because he's accomplished the whole thing. It's a perfect work. It can't be derailed. Nothing can stop it. It's done. It's done. Everything is done in Christ. So the work of salvation is finished in Christ. And if it's finished, rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. God is satisfied with his Son. We're justified in him. How do we know that we're justified? Because he raised him from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ declares to us that we are justified, that God is satisfied, that everything that was necessary has been paid in full. God is satisfied, so his people are satisfied with the salvation of Christ as well. The seventh day rest is declaring to God's people that we are to rest in him who created all things, in him who obtained that salvation for his people. God rested, his people rest in him also. Those who are looking to a Sabbath day rest in a physical day, whether they call it Saturday or they call it Sunday, they're missing what God is telling us from the very beginning, from the volume of the book, from the very, very first book of all the books, which declares to us Christ. Those who are looking to a physical day are missing that it's all speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single day has declared to us what he's done. Why is the seventh day any different? It's not. God rested, and we do rest thankfully, we rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. We rest in Him who is the Savior, who is the salvation of His people. It's all completed. His people rest in Him, and while they rest, they cease from their own ways. They cease from finding their own pleasure and speaking their own words. Now, those are phrases which are found in Isaiah 58. And why don't we turn there? Let's go to Isaiah 58 and look at verses 13 and 14. Because this is a place where legalists or Sabbatarians often go to justify resting in a physical day and doing this work of salvation to please God and to obtain more blessings of God in their keeping this Sabbath day rest. And they're missing Christ. They're not hearing Christ. They're not seeing Christ in this word. And yet, in the volume of the book, from the beginning all the way to the end, it speaks of Christ. So Isaiah 58, verse 13 and 14. The Lord tells us, "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath," meaning turn away from doing thy pleasure on my holy days, "and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Man loves to bind men with a physical Sabbath day rest. And they say, well, it's spoken of back there in creation. It's not just in the Ten Commandments. It's spoken of back in the creation account. And they're missing everything that the creation account has been saying to us. It's Christ. It's Christ. It's Christ crucified. It's what he accomplished for us by himself. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Sabbath rest of his people. All his people rest in him. They delight themselves in the Lord. They call the Sabbath a delight. You who believe the Lord Jesus Christ, who rest in him and trust his blood is sufficient to save you to the uttermost, are delighting in the Sabbath rest of God. You're delighting in him whom God sent to obtain eternal redemption for you. You that rest in him can do nothing more. He's perfected everything. And you can add nothing more to what he's done. And so we rest in the Lord. And it speaks of us feeding on the heritage of Jacob, their father. And I have to say this because it delights my heart. Why doesn't it say Abraham? Or why doesn't it speak of the heritage of Isaac? Why does it speak of the heritage of Jacob? And that's because Abraham had his Ishmael. And Isaac had his Esau. But the 12 sons of Jacob were all washed in the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. All 12 sons were delivered by God and given life in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were all children of promise. None of them was lost. You might look at their lives and not believe and say, man, these guys were messed up. They were sinners. They did foolish things. We see unbelief in their lives. And yet, every one of them was a child of God because Christ finished the work. God looked to them for nothing. He looked to the Savior who provided everything for them. And we that are feeding upon the heritage of Jacob are feeding upon the Lord Jesus Christ, upon his body and upon his blood. We feed upon him. He is our salvation. And so the Lord is saying to all for whom Christ died, it's finished. None are lost. All his sheep hear the word. All his sheep believe. All his sheep are gathered into the fold of Christ. He said, other sheep I have who I must also bring. They shall hear. They shall be in this one fold, both Jew and Gentile, under this gospel. you that believe him, rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Sabbath rest of his people provided by God. That's what our God is declaring in the seventh day rest. Rest in him whom I have sent. I finished everything in Christ. Don't turn to the law of Moses. Instead, call the Sabbath a delight. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a testimony to all who do that they are covered by the blood of Christ, that this salvation declared in creation was for them in Christ. Amen.